Hey, welcome back. You are listening to In Pursuit of Community with Elevate Branson. I'm your host, Brian Stallings, the CEO and co-founder of Elevate Branson. Normally, I have my lovely co-host and wife, assistant, who is our volunteer coordinator, Amy, with us. But today, she is on her day of solitude. So what is a day of solitude, you ask? Well, that is something that we give all of our staff members here at Elevate Branson, one day a month where they get to spend that day with God, just hanging out. It is a paid day where they get to just refresh, get some God time, and then that way they can come back to work and put in another solid month, because they need that day of refreshment every month when you work on the front lines in a nonprofit. But even though Amy's not here, we have got an exciting guest. We have Jonas Tavares with us from the Taney County Partnership. He is the Workforce Development Programs Manager. And over the past year in our podcast, you've heard us talk about our scooter rentals through Elevate Rides for what we used to call J-1 visa holders, which is really a college-age worker that comes here for 90 days and works and helps our local economy. But it's kind of been rebranded over the last year. They're actually what we call now Bridge USA workers. But before I get it all confused, I'm going to let Jonas tell us all about the program. Welcome, Jonas.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, you're right. So usually these college students from many countries come to the U.S. to work and live in the country on what is called the Summer Work and Travel Program. And that's overseen by the Department of State of the United States. And the program is called Bridge USA. Now, they have been usually referred to as J-1 because that's the type of visa. But if you ask me, I mean, what is J-1? Doesn't really mean anything. Right, it's just a category of visa, as you can enter in the U.S. through a multitude types of visas. In fact, when I came into the U.S., I'm from Brazil originally. I came as a exchange student, so I went to high school and then I went to college, and I came with a F-1 visa. Now, nobody called me, "Hey, F-1." Or,
That's a good point. Yeah,
you don't see it. But so for the J-1, right? So just a category, it allows international. People to come and to work and live in the United States for a period of time. So under the J-1 visa programs, we have the Bridge USA Summer Work and Travel. These students come to stay here and work for about 3 months over their summer break. So it varies from, depending on where they come from. I would say anywhere from 2.5 months to 4 months. There is also the J-1 internship program and the trainee program. Those programs are typically longer. They have a contract for 6 months up to 18 months. So those two programs are for young professionals who have graduated from college and they are pursuing a career experience in the United States and they have to work within their field of study. Now for the Summer Work and Travel Program, the one that I work more closely with over the summer here in Branson, those benefit college students. Right, they come here for their summer break, and they don't necessarily need to work within their field of study. It's just a summer experience, right? To experience the United States and our culture, to get some work experience, make some money, and just enjoy our way of living, just to get to know about us and travel. They do have also a period of time to travel around the United States, right? And that's also interesting when I first interact with them. Most of them don't even knew about Branson, let alone Missouri. Right, they all imagine going to New York, California, Florida, Chicago, all these places, and then they are here in Branson, and that was the first time they heard about it. So this is a great program. In fact, it benefits around 120,000 students every year who come to the United States, and it benefits a lot of, during our summer months, a lot of the rural areas that don't have the local workforce, right, for the demand of just workforce in general in the summer. And then in the winter, all the ski resorts in the northern states also bring some students to work, right, seasonally. So it's a program that helps local businesses around the country to supplement their seasonal workforce.
I think what's interesting about it that I've been educated on the last few years is we always had, or at least I always had the impression, it was a economic workforce program.
Right.
But it's actually a cultural exchange program. Really, the focus is that they're supposed to get cultural experience of the United States with the option that they can work while they're here. Right. In Branson, we're so desperate for employees, though, that we've kind of made that the focus, right?
Right.
That it's workforce. But really, it's not under the economic development.
Yeah.
It's under this Department of Travel, right?
Yeah, the Department of State.
Yeah.
You have a branch that is dedicated to all these international student workers through various programs, one of them the J-1 Visa Bridge USA program. So, yeah, that's right. And, yeah, they come here to work. They are plugged in our communities and resources. And it is primarily a cultural exchange program. You're right on that. It's called Summer Work and Travel, so obviously they come and work, and that helps them also to just live and offset their costs. They do pay a big amount of money to come here. So for the program, one of the requirements is they have to work at least 32 hours a week, and they can work up to 40 or more hours. In fact, several students, they pursue second or even third or fourth jobs to supplement their hours. They are allowed to work up to 60 hours every week. So they not only are working here in our Branson community for their primary employers, but also getting to work in other places and helping our workforce tremendously.
So is that 60 hours total between all their jobs?
Yeah, jobs by every week. That's what is allowed through the program guidelines. In fact, there are some regulations that are important to take note of, because, as I said, they're here for their summer break. They can work in different positions, different fronts. There are just a few restrictions that the program doesn't allow them to work with. That's why they work through visa sponsors to make sure that they have the contact of the business who is hiring them. And things of that nature. So they are not allowed to work in the clinical environment. They are not allowed to work in a position that require them to drive, or they cannot work overnight. So those I would say are the three restrictions. But aside from that, you see them around working in restaurants, in housekeeping. With attractions, so many things. So they are a blessing to our community, I would say. We've been relying on those students for many years. As you know, our Branson community, right, we have a small population of around 12,000 people. And last year, we just, our record year was of 10.2 million visitors. So it would be really, really difficult, right, to overcome that workforce barrier with our local workforce alone. So these students coming, typically every year we get around 700 to 800 students. This year, the numbers I got from the Department of State, we had 732 students coming from different countries and living here in Branson. So one of the things that I do through the Chamber and Tenney County Partnership, I work directly with these students over the summer as I lead the community support group. So we have, through the Tenney County Partnership, we started back in 2015, the Branson Bridge USA Community Support Group. And it is basically an organization, a group of organizations in town that get together to help these students as they come here to Branson to settle in, right, to know their options for housing, transportation, and also have some fun through different cultural activities.
What are some of those cultural?
Right.
Because
so,
you guys have really focused on that
uh-huh.
the last couple of years, is really providing cultural events for
uh-huh.
them.
And it is a big thing for them, as once again, it is primarily a cultural exchange program, right? So, and this is my first summer. So in the off season before the summer, getting ready to welcome these students, I've been working with the visa sponsors every month on a regular basis through meetings to prep for the arrivals and also provide them with resources as they get here, right? Most of them fly into Springfield. Well, how am I going to get to Branson, right? So I put a student handbook together, some options for rideshare and shuttling services, and also area resources. So in the beginning of May, when students started to arrive, we hosted a total of 6 orientations every week, where we had the students at our chamber building for a couple of hours, and we had guest speakers from healthcare, community safety. We had a police officer come in and speak to them We had banking agents. We had the Elevate Branson with Elevate Rides talking about the scooter program. That's how a lot of them learned about it. So we provide them with a lot of area resources and you know, information about Branson, how they can get around, and also how they would learn about what we do in general with our cultural activities. So we planned a total of initially 3 main events. We took them to Fritz's Adventure for the summer kickoff in June, and then we also took a huge group to Skate World Branson. And now the last one, the last official Bridge USA event that we hosted was on August 7th. It's called Exchange Day, right? For all the exchange visitors who come to the United States, they celebrate Exchange Day on the first Monday of August. So here in Branson, we keep this tradition alive by taking the students to Moonshine Beach. So it was our record year as well for attendance. We had 261 students.
Oh, wow.
It did take a lot of trips, you know, and I'm also very gracious for, you know, the buy-in of the community. And we had a lot of volunteers. We had people driving vans from FAC, from Elevate Branson as well. And we were able to bring all those students to have a fun time at the lake, right? Enjoy, eat some food and swim, play different different sports. And it was really, really fun. Aside from that, once again, very glad that in our community we have a lot of support and several nonprofits, right? So Elevate Branson, FPC Branson, and Christian Action Ministries, just to name a few. FPC Branson has also been a blessing for this program. They hosted a total of 3 additional events at their facility. They had a Welcome to Branson party. And all of these events were attended by over 100 students at a time.
Wow.
They had a game night and movies. And then last night was the wrap up of the summer, the last event by FPC. We had just a game night and taco bar, right? It was Tuesday.
Tuesday tacos.
Yeah, Taco Tuesday. So they had a great time. A lot of them are already heading back home. In fact, some of them already left Branson. It is, we are approaching the end of the season. So we've had several, you know, opportunities to get them engaged in our community by taking advantage of cultural activities.
So one of the challenges I know that we've had over the years is being able to increase that number due to our lack of housing.
Right.
Is there anything or any other areas that you said you were a exchange student when you're mm-hmm. in high school, right. And typically you come and you live with an American family, right? Is there anything, any program like that available for the Bridge USA workers, right. Where they, instead of putting them in, yeah. you know, workforce housing, they could actually be almost adopted by mm-hmm. a family?
Good question. So they are exchange visitors. They are on a different program, right? They come here to work and live in the U.S. So they have, they need housing, and they usually live with a roommate, 2 or 3 roommates. And it is, in fact, one of the issues that have been preventing us from increasing the number of exchange visitors here in Branson every year. I did come as an exchange student the first time I came into the United States, and I lived with the host family because I was an exchange student for high school. So through that program, which is different, and I was underage, right, I had to live with the family through an established program. Now, for all these exchange visitors who come on a J-1 visa through the Bridge USA program, that's why it is important for the employers to work with the visa sponsors so they can secure housing. Right, that's the first step. Before any employer wants to recruit however many students they want, they have to work with the visa sponsor to make sure that they have secured housing for them and that the housing passes inspection and all the requirements. Right? It has to be a safe environment with a kitchen, at least a commons area where they can cook, and that, well, they mostly have roommates, but at least, I mean, obviously they would have a bed for each person.
Right.
Those would be the top 3 requirements for housing. So the employer has to secure that. And then through the community support group, right, what I do is getting this information and sharing with these employers and visit sponsors and making sure we know the managers, we know that those places are safe and good to go so the students can come and live in those
It'd be a little challenging then host families then, I
right,
guess.
Yeah, and
that'd
I,
be kind yeah. of a neat cultural exchange, though.
Yes.
If you know, like you said, with the partnership with uh-huh. FBC, I could see them having several members in their church that would be willing to host a student for that 3 months.
And they did. Now, through the Bridge USA J1 visa program, it is not allowed for the exchange visitors to live full-time with the host family. But what we did starting this year is, once again, partnering with FPC, they initiated a great initiative called, a host family initiative, in which the students would not necessarily live with them, right? They have their housing already settled, but we've been pairing up local families with these students so they get to experience more of our cultural, right? It's a cultural exchange to get to experience the culture more closely with local family person. And as a matter of fact, we were able to pair around 750, there's about 750 students. We had 73 families, local families, welcoming and hosting these students, a total of over 150 students were benefited from this initiative.
Awesome.
And that's what I know. I'm pretty sure that the number has increased because, you know, when these families open their doors and their hearts for the students, and then they bring their friends and roommates, but it's been a rewarding experience for both involved, right? It's a cultural exchange,
so we get
to learn from them. They learn about us, and I've got to know stories or see pictures of, you know, families having these students over for a meal, taking them to attractions, right? See the city, to the lake, getting on the lake on a boat.
It's great when that opportunity is there. When Amy and I first started Elevate Branson, we didn't have very many J-1 visa students here at the time. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of H-2Bs.
Right.
And the H-2Bs could be here for 9 months. And one of the motels that we went to was just full of Jamaican H-2Bs. And so we got to really got to know them. And they would start coming over our house, and they would fix us a traditional Jamaican dinner. We play wee bowling or something, you know, with them, and we just got to exchange cultures, you know. And then we built so much of a relationship with them that they invited us to Jamaica, and so we went over there and hung out with them. I love that part of it, is being able to really experience another culture. Sign Amy and I up. We'll be one of those host families next year.
In fact, my wife and I hosted a couple this year. They were boyfriend and girlfriend from Colombia. They came together to Branson, and we are hosting them. We had them over at our house for a couple times. They even, we came to learn that the student that we are hosting is actually starting to be a culinary art chef in Colombia, so he said cooked
come practice at our house.
This delicious Colombian meal, and I'm like, well, oh Gracie, we're screwed if we try to cook for them next time, because this guy's a chef. He's actually working at Hilton
A
chef, so it's just a very neat experience, and we're being able to share that experience with the locals as well. It's been working tremendously well. And they work, helping the students in so many ways, just being a point of contact, right? They're helping them with transportation, taking them to Walmart or, you know, to work.
Right.
When their schedule allows. And also, you asked me, when they come here, right, they're on their own. Most of them are on their own to come from Springfield Airport to Branson, right? By now making these relationships, some of them are able to have a drop-off to the airport for the relationships they built here, being connected with the host family. So they are helping in so many ways that I'm just very happy that it's working officially this year, right? As you said, you did that in the past, and I know of many stories, right? So that's just to say that this cultural exchange program is also benefiting our Branson community as well. Just to give an example of also a lady that goes to FPC Branson, right? Last year, she worked closely with so many Bridge USA exchange visitors. And this summer, she went to spend 2 weeks in Turkey because they invited her.
Yeah.
And she had so many friends. And, they had her in their houses, took them to sightseeing.
That's what happened with us in Jamaica.
That's what happens. Unofficially, in the past years, this year we've done a good job of making these partnerships with local communities and the great people of Branson, right? And that's all what the students say. We love the people of Branson. They're very hospitable, right? They're friendly. They are here to help us, not wanting anything in return. And that's with the feedback that I get most of the time, they mention how great of an experience they had because of the people of Branson.
Yeah. Now, and they can. How often can they do this program? Mm-hmm. Is it every year while they're in school, or do they have to be a certain level of student, like a sophomore, junior, before they can do the program?
No, there's the how many times it depends. I actually met a student who was here in Branson last year, and it's her fifth time for the summer. And I believe she's either a law student or studying to be a doctor. So the students are allowed to do this program over their summer break as long as they are in college.
Okay.
So, yeah, they can do, typically up to 4, sometimes 5, 6 years in a row. We do have a list of some of the countries, right? They are represented through the students here in the summer. And the reason why we typically work with some countries specifically is because the summer work and travel program is not for our summer, it's for their summer break, right? So it's typically some demographical areas where we work with these students whose countries are having a summer break that align with our summer.
Right.
So summer here in Branson is our peak season, so that's when we need the most help. So we work with those students who are having the summer break during that moment. So that's why, for example, I'm from Brazil. We don't have any Brazilians on a J-1 visa this year because summer now in Branson, in Brazil, we have the season is the opposite. So they are experiencing the winter.
So they go to the ski resorts.
Right. So, yeah, in the winter here, when it's summer in Brazil, Australia, and some other countries in the Southern Hemisphere, then they also participate in the summer work and travel program, which is their summer, but then they go to ski resorts in northern states that have a greater demand for the winter, and that's why we don't. Our summer work and travel program here in Branson is more limited to the summer.
Yeah, so we had 732 students, and that represented how many different countries?
23 countries.
23 countries. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, there's a handful of them that only have like one or two students, but the top of the list is made up by these countries who traditionally are represented here in Branson every summer. The Dominican Republic, right? The Dominicans are always here every year, and they're actually one of the top sending countries for the entire program around the country. From the Dominican Republic alone, this year we had 159 students. That represents 22% of all the exchange visitors in Branson, followed by Thailand, Jamaica, Colombia, Turkey, Peru, just to name a few.
That's amazing. Now, of course, housing's been the issue, but we have some housing projects that just got completed that'll house about 300 students at some point next year for sure. Mm-hmm. And then I know that I think Big Cedar's building some as well, and then there's talks of some others. So do you anticipate then that number going up? Yes, once we have some adequate housing?
Yeah, certainly. Yes, absolutely. Exciting news is that International Residence Hall is a building company, property management that has proved to be successful in other states, such as Wisconsin Dells area, Pigeon Forge in Tennessee, and other areas, the hot spots where a lot of the Bridge USA exchange visitors go. So as Branson is traditionally a hot spot for the students as well, Tenney Garden Partnership has been in the works with International Residence Hall for the past years, and we finally made it happen with contracts going forward, private contracts with some of the top employers in the Branson area. And in fact, Silva de la City, right, they work with several hundreds of students every year, and housing has been an issue. So they just recently opened a international residence hall in Branson West within walk, right, from the residence hall to Silva de la City. So it's a great way, to have reliable housing that is safe, that meet all the requirements. They have a 24-person front desk. They have security cameras. Only students are allowed in the building. They have a card key, And they have all the amenities they need. They have a huge commons area. They have game halls. And the rooms are really modern and, well, set to meet the needs of the students. So this one residence is ready to house around 300 students. They just opened in the past month, and they moved all these students who were working at Silver Dollar City this summer. They were living in other two different properties, so they all moved in.
And so, yes.
So they've got students living there now.
Yeah, they do. Some of them are already leaving. It's the end of the program. I think they when they moved all the students in, they had about 50% occupancy.
Okay.
So that means for going forward next year, right, as they have housing availability now, that property will be able to house many more students.
Right.
Not only that, that's the first one of out of three international residence hall properties that has been right in the works to benefit the Branson area. They're also doing another private property, well, the construction for a Big Cedar in Ridgedale. Big Cedar has also been in the kind of the same situation. They actually house all of their students in Hollister, which is a few minutes away from,
right,
from the property. And so they are building an international residence hall on the Big Cedar property. So it's going to be much more convenient. It's going to be the same model.
About the same size?
About the same size, yes. And I actually believe it's going to be a little bigger because Big Cedar, right, as it is a company that's open all year round, and they work with several different programs, not only the Bridge USA J-1 Visa Summer Work and Travel Program. They also work with interns, trainees, H-2Bs, with Puerto Ricans, right, even some local seasonal workers, right, that they help with housing. So I believe that one is going to house about 500 students. And finally, the third project, a more of a private-public project, is going to be with the City of Branson, along with International Residence Hall. So it's also going to be housing about 500 students, and it's going to be located in a more of a central location around 76 Country Boulevard. The hope, the plan is for these two additional housings to be ready and to be ready to move students in next summertime. So if you made
great.
A quick math, it will, I think we'll have an additional 1,300 beds, right? So if we usually have 750 students in any given year with the housing inventory we have now, if we add those housing availability come next year, we will easily be able to at least double, if not triple, the number of exchange visitors we welcome to Branson over the summer.
Yeah.
And that will also help us, right, address the issue of housing to potentially expand the Bridge USA program, not only for the summer, but also for, right, the other seasons of the year, which is our goal at Tenney County Partnership at the Chamber and with the City of Branson as well, to make Branson be more of a all-year-round business, right, destination, not only for the summer as it has been, well, as it has traditionally been.
Well, yeah, because, you know, September, well, October through December is one of our busiest times of the year here.
Right.
Because that's
right.
With the Branson Christmas season,
uh-huh.
and we're usually very short-staffed,
mm-hmm.
because all the high school, college, and international students have
mm-hmm.
gone back.
Yep.
So,
correct.
Well, we've had preliminary talks. I mean, just early talks with International Residence Hall about being able to partner with them
mm-hmm.
with scooters for those students
right.
at those buildings. So, yeah. So it's exciting to see that there's bigger and better opportunity, because
mm-hmm.
What I understand, typically during our summertime, we have about 2,000 job vacancies.
Right.
So we could use all the help we can get. So,
mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, anything else you want to say about the program?
Just, you know, want to give a shout out to all the partners in the community, the organizations that have been working with us. You guys at Elevate Branson have been doing a phenomenal job, right? Just supporting us in many ways. And the Elevate Rides, it's the first year that we're doing this. So it's been benefiting dozens of students, and I see them around, right? And
they have their little posses going on those scooters.
It's just such a neat program, once again, to address the transportation issue.
and I give the students the freedom, right, to have their own reliable transportation to not only go to and back from work, but also to experience Branson.
Exactly.
Right, part of the cultural exchange.
Yeah.
To visit friends, to go grocery shop, you know, go see, you know, our very beautiful Ozark area. Also, FBC, once again, I want to thank them so much for all they've done. They actually, aside from hosting several events at their facility and also starting the Host Family Initiative, they've also done a great job with the J1 rides. I'm actually in the group. We have about 25 volunteer drivers from the area, and then we just get these tickets every day. Like, pick up these students' mail from this location, drop off at this location at this time, and we have all this information, and that allows us to interact with the students and also help them with a free ride.
Yeah.
Right?
To
help.
Absolutely.
Well, it's costly. It adds up. These students don't have, well, in Branson in general, don't have local public transportation.
Right.
So that has been another great initiative that has been helping these students and us alike. So it's been phenomenal, to have the support of these community organizations. And finally, Christian Action Ministries, they catered all of our food for the exchange day at Moonshine Beach. We had such a great time. They've been volunteering and loving on these students. They've also served so many students who come to their branches, right? And they're able to serve them with food and local resources. And a way to give back, right, as it is also part of the program. On Exchange Day, the motto is eat, play, and give. And obviously, we had a lot of fun. We ate, we played at Moonshine Beach. But also, I wanted to give back, especially to these organizations who have given us so much. So I brought a group of students to volunteer here at Elevate Branson a couple of weeks ago. And we helped prepping meal bags. And we also helped clean the kids' playground that you guys are building.
Yeah, they did a great job.
In the back and clearing the trail, spreading mulch, and I believe they pulled up like
there was a lot of trash
right
there.
An old trolley and stroller, an old stroller, and then two old
tires.
It's been amazing. And we also took another big group to camp to volunteer and pack meals and also learn about what these organizations doing in the community and be part of this change, right? To make an impact here locally and learn about all we do. So that's been a great experience for us, me included, right? And have these students engage in so many ways, not only working, but also getting to know our culture and our great community. And then lastly, one thing that I just wanted to share, coming up on October 12th, I'd like to invite everybody from our Branson community. We will be hosting a Branson Bridge USA Forum at the Branson Chamber of Commerce. So just for now, to save the date. More information will come out soon. We'll have several visit sponsors come in and have a collaborative work to educate the local existing new businesses to learn about the program, know how it works, right? Working through with a visit sponsor, how they can hire students for what positions they can hire, and get all the information they need. We also have a representative from the Department of State, and we also have community resources talking about housing, transportation, and so many things. Come learn more about the Bridge USA visa, J1 Visa Summer Work and Travel Program. In fact, we'll also be talking about the other international work programs, including trainee internships. So there'll be people who are very knowledgeable about these topics, and there'll be room for also to ask questions and to interact with these people. So right, to exchange contact information and to learn more about the program in general. So please save the date. Come learn more about the program. And I'm just very thankful, right? My first rodeo pretty much this summer.
You did a great job.
Learning as I go, but I'm really glad for what we've accomplished this summer. And I used to say that I feel like I'm on my fourth exchange program, because I've been an exchange student three times, actually.
Oh,
right?
Okay, yeah.
I went to high school in Minnesota. I actually did a year of high school in China as well.
Oh, wow.
On a scholarship, and then I came once again to the United States, and I did my college degree at College of the Ozarks. And that's how I never left the area after that, as I came to College of the Ozarks. And then I get to live and work here in Branson.
Now, do you speak Chinese?
I do. I for the time being there, I got to learn a little bit and also live in the culture and living with Chinese students. It helped, and I'm very passionate about languages as well.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I love about this job, working in the summer with these exchange visitors. because I feel like they can relate to me, right? I'm about my age. I'm a little older right now, but about college age, and I'm also not from here, right? And I was in their shoes more than once.
Yeah,
right? So having this experience in a new environment, so I feel like I can relate to them, and they relate to me, and it's been a great ride this summer.
Yeah. Now, is there any cost for the employer?
On October 12th, they can find
out
about
like
that.
if they want to have college student workers.
Right. And that's because of disclosure and also because it varies from one visa sponsor to another. I don't really know how much.
So
but
it's
it
between the sponsor and the employer.
Yes.
And that's what'll be kind of covered at the October 12th.
Yes. These will be covered on the forum. I'll have the specialists talk about that. And also, as it varies from one visa to another, we have different visa sponsor representatives, right? And then it does have a cost, right? To be a contractor and use their services and then eventually hire these students. So there is a cost for both involved, right? The employer here locally, but also the students. They do make an investment to be here. But it is, as we can see, very beneficial program for
so all. The sponsor's got a good deal. He's making it on both sides.
Well,
we hosted an event here a couple of years ago. I'm trying to remember. It may have been longer than that. It may have been.
Christmas in July, right?
Yeah, Christmas in July.
I
can't remember. That must have been pre-COVID maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was really fun because they brought in different entertainment from the shows.
Right.
And so they put on little mini shows for all the students.
Awesome.
And so that was kind of fun. So if you ever need space for that, we can make that happen again.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jonas, thank you so much. It's great partnering with you on this program. It's fun to see those kids on scooters. And as far as I know, no accidents. So,
I appreciate all you guys do, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you bet. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That was great information from Jonas Tavares over at the Taney County Partnership and our International College Student Workers. And like we talked about, we have paired many of them up with scooters to help with that cultural exchange program. Well, we've got some exciting things coming up in the month of September. On September 5th, we have an Elevate Entrepreneur class beginning. I think we have maybe close to 17 new businesses looking at launching through that class. If you want to learn more about that, go to our website at elevatebranson.org. And then on September 11th, we have an Elevate Work class starting. And this is a big class. I believe there's over 30 applicants, and those are going to be employees, future employees, that have been trained in all of the soft skills that our employers ask for, expect, and desperately need. And so if you are a business owner and you want to become more involved and learn about Elevate Work, check out our website. Again, elevatebranson.org. And then September 12th starts our after-school program, Elevate Kids. And we have some exciting announcements for that coming up here towards the end of the podcast. But before we get there, we'll talk about some wacky Wednesday news. Now, just kind of staying along the international theme, there was an article, and it said revelers hurl tomatoes at each other and streets awash in red pulp in Spanish town's Tomatina party. So I guess 15,000 people, including tourists, and maybe this is something we could do in Branson, they pasted each other with tomatoes as part of Spain's annual Tomatina street battle, which takes place in this eastern town of Buno. I don't know, my Spanish isn't very good, so I'm not sure if that's how you say it or not. But it says workers on trucks tipped 120 tons of overripe tomatoes into the main street of the town for participants to throw. The street fight leaves both the street, its houses, and participants drenched in red pulp. And you actually pay to go and throw tomatoes. It's about $13 or 12 euros. And then the town hoses down the area and the revelers shower off within minutes of the hour-long noon battle, throwing tomatoes at each other. Maybe we could do something like that. Maybe it could be eggs. We used to throw a lot of eggs around Halloween when I was a kid. I don't know if that's still a tradition or not, but maybe we could bring that back. We could create our own tourist event here, throwing rotten food at each other, I guess. Pretty ingenious. It says the festival is held on the last Wednesday of August, and it was inspired by a food fight between local children in 1945 in the town located in a tomato-producing region. Media attention in the 1980s turned it into a national and international event, drawing participants from every corner of the world. Participants use swimming goggles to protect their eyes and usually dress in t-shirts and shorts. And the party is ranked by Spain as an international tourism attraction. I don't know. I might have to sign up for that. It'd be kind of fun to throw a tomato at somebody and watch it go splat. Well, that's your wacky Wednesday news. You know, the other thing that happens on Wednesdays is this is your $1 Wednesday reminder. That's your reminder that you can donate $1 to Elevate Branson, where you can add as many digits behind that one as you like. Six, for instance. Six different digits, not the number six, but you could add the number six as well. Our scripture of the week is one that we talked about here in our staff meeting recently. It's empowerment. It's from Thessalonians. I still don't think I said it right, but you know where it's coming from. Chapter 3, verse 10. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. We really like that verse here because we're all about empowering people. And the key word in that phrase is unwilling. Not able to work, but unwilling to work. All right, we had a couple of questions come in this week. We had Willard on Facebook. He said, why did the city spend $1.5 million to partner with the Kansas City Chiefs instead of investing in affordable housing? Well, that's a great question, Willard. I can't really answer that. You should probably ask the city of Branson. My guess is, though, that money was designated for tourism marketing, and so they wouldn't have been able to use that towards affordable housing, but that would certainly be a question for our city administration. And then, of course, we get our annual or our weekly question from our listener, D. Toddy Squeeman, and he is asking for any playground updates, and that ties back into our Elevate Kids After School program. We are really hoping to have that playground completed by the time that starts in the mid-September. We've got a sensory area completed now. The slide is in. We've got some the dig areas and balance beam area being completed now, and we are getting close to having that done. And as soon as we do, we will have an open house for the community to come check it out. And then Christy on Facebook asked, how do I sign up for a tiny house? Well, you just contact us at elevatebranson.org or stop in and visit with our Elevate Connections team, and they can get you an application, and you can fill that out, and we can get you in the pipeline. And hopefully you'll be hearing about us breaking ground soon. That's going to wrap it up for In Pursuit of Community with Elevate Branson. Be sure to catch us next week wherever you listen to your podcast.